Storyworthy Media, the best in story-driven content.
They said it would take a man 40 years to listen to Storyworthy, but Andy Dufresne did it in less than 20. I'm Theo Vaughn, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finn.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from the Buddy Squirrel Nut and Candy Shop at Brookfield Square Mall in Brookfield, Wisconsin.
What is that? What is that candy shop?
It is a local nut and candy shop called Buddy Squirrel. There are four locations in the greater Milwaukee area.
That is a fantastic name for a candy store.
Sure. But see, I think they started with nuts, hence the squirrel. But eventually they realized, oh, perhaps we want to take our dusty old nuts and cover them in chocolate. Okay, that did not sound good. That took a nasty turn.
All right, okay.
But,
all right.
Yes.
Well, we're talking squirrels tonight because our guest, comedian Theo Vaughn, he brings forth the topic, killing squirrels with my father.
Yes. I want to point out there are no dead squirrels at the Buddy Squirrel Shop.
Yeah, no dead squirrels here.
He's talking about hunting.
It's a different thing. Yeah.
I assume.
But when you say killing squirrels with my father, like that is, you can see that picture in your mind.
That, you know, that guy's not from Brooklyn.
I know exactly the story he's going to tell. He's going to tell a story about going out with his father into the woods and killing a squirrel.
Yeah. Although maybe, I have no idea. Was there a squirrel in the house?
Well,
did they have to get the squirrel out of the house?
See, that could be a thing. You should say that because that's my squirrel story.
Oh, tell me your squirrel story.
No, I'm not going to go into it. I've told it actually on another show. But the bottom line is we had...
You know squirrels are podcast gold. Hashtag squirrel is our number one driver of content.
Growing up in rural Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, we would find animals that were almost dead, whether they got hit by a car or got maimed by a cat or whatever. We would put those animals in a cardboard box, put a little bit of grass, a little bit of water, try to nurse them back to health. So one time we bring in this squirrel, half frozen. It had been out in the snow, half dead and half frozen, and it's in a box. My mother turns on the stove, warms up the squirrel. That's a true story.
Anyway, you're sure she wasn't making hamburger help?
No, but it's in the box, and when my father came home, he made it very clear, kids, you don't touch that squirrel, you know, without these gloves. And he put these big gardening gloves on. And anyway, the point is, next day comes around, squirrels are still alive. We're still feeding it, I think, out of a hamster water bottle, giving it, I don't know what we're giving it. And my father came home, and for one reason or another, reached into the box without the gloves on, and the squirrel bit him between the thumb and the forefinger, bit him right there.
In the fleshy part.
The fleshy part. And my dad just started flipping out and started swinging around his arm in the dining room, and the squirrel smacked, hit the wall, flew off my dad's head, hit the wall, dropped to the ground, scurried away. Nothing a child should have to witness. It was absolutely horrifying. I still have the memory. My father had to go to the hospital, the whole thing with the rabies.
You had to catch the squirrel, right?
My brother caught the squirrel with a pot, two pots together, caught the squirrel, threw it in the basement. It was dead in the morning. The point is, we all have a squirrel
point
story.
Point is, there's a history of carnage that should be investigated by animal control in rural Pennsylvania. Oh, my God.
Well, and that was the lesson my dad tried to say, is you don't try to save a wild animal. If a wild animal is going to die, it's going to die. And let me just tell you this. A couple of months later, my cat got a hold of a baby bunny.
Oh, dear.
And it was half dead. And just when we were going to go out and get a box and grass and water and put it in there, my dad goes out and takes that baby bunny, lays it on one brick, and smashes its head with another brick and killed that baby bunny in front of the children.
This is why you're in show business. Good Lord.
I swear to God. There's something about it's like, that.
Did Rob Zombie direct your childhood? This is horrifying.
I don't know. But the point is, Theo Vaughn is here, you guys.
Yes, I'm sure he will tell an uplifting story about dying squirrels.
His story. You know, I love the way his name, think about his name, Hannes, and when you see it in print, Theo Vaughn, T-H-E-O-V-O-N. You know what I mean?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
So you find him on Instagram and also on Twitter.
I think it should be Von Houston, Von Duesenberg.
I'm going to ask him if his family is into the supermarket.
There's probably a Von. He probably dropped a Von. I'm guessing. Okay, he's nodding. He dropped something after the Von. I want to know what it is. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Do you think his family could be in the supermarket business? I think I'm going to tell him my Super Saver number.
Because of Vons.
Because of Vons.
Yeah, we do have people listen to this outside of California, and they don't know what the fuck you're talking about, right?
All right. Listen, by the way, when I go to Vons and I give him my number,
yeah,
it's my first phone number in Los Angeles, which happened to be, this is 20 years ago, happened to be the number of another lady who used to have the phone number. Her name was Beatrice Maldonado.
Yeah.
So every time I go to Vons, they still say to me, thank you, Mrs. Maldonado. And I say, gracias, adios, you know, every.
And you're still making money off of her gas points or whatever it is.
Theo Von, you guys. Theo Von is here.
But he's a very busy young man. That's what I hear.
He's a busy guy. He certainly is, and we're glad to have him here. But before he comes on to tell his story, I did want to remind you guys that if you'd like to support the Storyworthy podcast, the easiest thing to do is somebody says, hey, man, what's going on with you today? And you say,
hey, I'm listening to Storyworthy. You should, too.
You could say it like that, or you could just be more cool about it and just say, well,
I personally can't be more cool about
it. For one thing, I listened to this great show called Storyworthy, which you could, of course,
you know what,
find.
The other day, one of our fans just tweeted out, she had tweeted, here are five podcasts I like randomly,
right.
And
right.
One of them was us. Just do that.
Oh, that's
you don't have
nice.
To just,
yeah.
Not just us, tweet out whatever five podcasts you like.
That's right. Throw out some love to a lot of people today. Why don't you do that?
Yes.
You know, Theo Von has a show called Allegedly.
And you can put that in there.
We had his co-host on the show already, Matthew Cole Wise.
Matthew Cole Wise, that motherfucker.
He owes
still
me
owes me money.
$10.
He still owes me $10. Joke. He's looking at me like, do I have to pay $10? No. But he owes me $10 in this world. Somebody's going to pay it.
All right, you guys, wherever you are, stick around because Theo Von is on his way here. On Storyworthy, we have actor Dan Frischman.
And I'll be talking about when I first got to Hollywood.
That's next time on Storyworthy.
Hi, this is Bobcat Goldthwait, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Southridge Mall on South 76th Street in Greendale, Wisconsin, to another Buddy Squirrel store.
First of all, malls are so popular still in the Midwest. It's like a thing to go to the mall.
It is the 90s or the 80s, perhaps, depending on where you are in the Midwest.
The mall is still a deal.
But these are all on the outskirts of the city of Milwaukee. They built one of those nice malls in the center of town, you know, where they took old department stores downtown and built a mall there. Mm-hmm. And that was like in the 80s, and now it's dead.
Yeah.
Because
like white elephants just waiting for a horror movie to be shot.
People in suburban Milwaukee are frightened to drive into downtown Milwaukee, which of course is insane when you live in Los Angeles, because it's about a 15 to 20 minute drive, and there's no danger whatsoever.
Yeah.
But people are like, oh, I don't want to go downtown there. You don't know what's going to go on down there.
Well, everybody has their level of fear. I mean, no matter where you live, you're going to make it up in your head.
Yeah, but just driving over here, I was like, to Brookfield. Okay, now I'm confused. I don't know where I am anymore.
All right, you guys. He's here right now. Theo Von. He is a stand-up comedian and a writer and a host. And he has a brand new Netflix special out right now called No Offense. He shot it in New Orleans. That's where he's from. Did I tell you that?
You didn't tell me that. But I'm guessing there is actually a fence. Because he says no offense, I guess it's ironic. I'm just hoping that he offends somebody.
I don't know. You guys might remember him from TBS's Hidden Camera Prank Show. That's what it is. It was called Deal With It. Do you remember that?
Yes, yes.
And also he had a show on Yahoo, which was called Primetime in No Time. I remember that well. And then he has a thing, which I just discovered when I started looking into him, called Crank Texts. Cranktexts.com. This is pretty darn funny. It's a website where Theo goes out, he texts random cell phone numbers. And he gets into conversations with complete strangers.
Hmm.
And he has one particular thing he did where he pretended that he had a unicycle for sale. And I will let him tell the story.
I'm already laughing.
Very, very funny. He was also voted a fan favorite as a semifinalist on Last Comic Standing, and he's been in comedy festivals all over the place. You can find him, like I said, on Twitter and Instagram at Theo Von, and of course at TheoVon.com. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Theo Von.
So when I was young, I was a child. I mean, most of us go through that. And my dad was very old. My dad was 70 years old when I was born. My dad was born in 1910. And I remember when I was probably about 11 years old, and I was tall enough, my dad would let me drive for him. As long as I was tall enough, he would let me drive him. So I had, I'd hit a little growth spurt kind of early, and so my dad would let me drive him around. And I remember times where we would go to the post office and he couldn't, there was nowhere to park or nothing. So he would just say, well, just drive around the block a couple times and come pick me up. And I would go around the block and I would just hit five or six cars going around the block. And my dad's car was a piece of shit. It was like a Delta 88. And it was all banged up and he couldn't tell if it was banged up or not just because he wasn't that good at looking at things and seeing them fully. So he didn't really know. So I come back around and just pick him up. My dad worked at colleges sometimes to make money. He was like one of those men, now they have people in the airports that yell at you. It's usually black people that yell at you to come over and fill out credit card applications. Well, my dad was one of those people before those people were mostly black. And so he would go to college campuses and he would have people come over and fill out credit card applications. And he always had some kind of like bait or ruse that these companies give you, like Chase or Visa or Citibank or something. They give you like a item, like a bait, like come get this neon green duffel bag, or come get this, like a double-sided Frisbee, or just some bullshit, come get this, like a kettle or something, or just something, like come get this tea kettle. Just some bullshit. So anyway, my dad would go up there and he would be at the college. He would yell for people to come over. And every application that we got filled out, my dad got $2. So that was how it worked for those people at that time. And my dad would take me and he would let me drive him. And we'd drive maybe 70 miles to get to some of the colleges. So I'm sitting there 11, 12, maybe max, just driving, and I'd be hitting 70, 80 miles an hour cruising, bro. I wasn't afraid to open it up. I wasn't afraid of speed even at such a young age. And so I'd open it up and get us over to the universities or whatever. Then we get out there and bark, and get the people to come over to the tables and make the credit card applications. And so that was pretty cool, man. It was pretty fun. And my dad's car was a piece of shit, though. Like, it was a piece of shit on the outside, and then the inside was just like more of like a homelier type of piece of shit environment. Basically, he had stacked like any kind of things he'd ever had in his life was all in his car. It was wet down by the bottom. He had some speakers in the back because he brought the car off a brother somewhere in New Orleans. And one of the speakers had broken and it had a thing of old Chinese food in it. So it rattled and didn't even do no speaking really. It just, one of them just basically just rattled with Chinese food. So anyway, that was kind of the car we were in. I had three brothers and sisters. I had a brother that was 2 years older than me and two sisters that are 2 and 4 years younger than me. And my parents got separated. So on the weekends, a lot of time, my dad would just take us and spend time with us. But he always had like things he had to do or something. And so sometimes he would just buy us like a bag of pies from the Burger King and he would take us over to the park and drop us off. And the crazy part was they had other kids at the park whose parents had dropped them off. So you'd just be at the park. But and so sometimes we would just be out there eating pies all day and just living life, really, and just being children. And then and one time the bait that they had given him for one of these credit card companies was a Kit Kat. Kit Kat candy. You know Kit Kat candy. It's like an orange kind of candy wrapper. You open the wrapper, they got candy in there. They ain't fooling anybody with their fucking game plan, right? They're honest. This is it. Kit Kat candy, right? So that was the bait. You get people to come over, you give them the Kit Kat, they do the applications. So my dad had a bunch of Kit Kats in his car and like cases, bro, like 4 or 5 cases. And they would heat up and get real hot and all fucking melt. And then they would cool out again. And they would get cool. So he was always bringing them inside and out of the house because they'd have to cool off these Kit Kats. So when we was over there one time, we was running just literally, we were basically just doing slave labor. No offense if you're a slave. But we were doing like modern day child slave labor, dealing with a man who had maybe about 7 or 8 boxes of Kit Kats. And we just running them in and out of the house to put them in the cooler. Well, so one time, that's just really the setup for the story. That's really just like the tertiary environment. So let me take you guys up to the front seat right now. So a lot of time my dad liked to rest because, you know, he was older. And older people like to rest because, you know, just because eventually they're going to be resting for a while. So they figure they kind of get a little lead in on it. So my dad would go to the park sometimes with us and just be like, y'all clean out the car and then y'all go play, right? That's the rule. So we would try to clean out the car, man, but the car was fucking uncleanable, dude. They sometimes had animals down in there. They had roaches living in the car. They had, I mean, the car was disgusting, dude. It was disgusting. We must have cleaned it 70 times, and it was disgusting before and after we cleaned it. The ceiling was always hanging down. It had like one of them ceilings, like a old lady's just skin. And so it was always just kind of hanging down onto your head. Well, so this one time we was over by there by the park, and my dad was resting. And he was resting. And he said, all right, y'all clean out the car and then crack you open a little case of Kit Kats because it was somebody's birthday. So we got a whole case to ourselves. Well, first we started and just sitting over by the car and just started throwing some Kit Kat out because we saw a squirrel. So a squirrel would come and get this Kit Kat. And squirrels, honestly, dude, they're kind of assholes, bro. I really refer to them kind of as like the Persians of the animal kingdom. You know, they'll like take shit from you, but then they act like you didn't even just fucking give it to them. You know, so that kind of pisses me off a little bit. But anyway, no offense if you use a Persian squirrel. And if you're offended by that at all and you're not a Persian squirrel, then you fucking suck. But onward. So what had happened was we started throwing these Kit Kats out to the squirrel, right? And then in the distance, another squirrel was hopping over, dude. And I don't know how this first squirrel knew about the second squirrel, because I just can't imagine how he knew. Because, I mean, he had to be 100 yards away. So how do a squirrel know, unless maybe a bird went by, saw the one squirrel, and then maybe gave a sign to the second squirrel that was further away? I don't know how they would get that message over there. Yeah. Something. Yeah, maybe that. Maybe that. So it could have been the squirrel sound. It could have been that. I can't do it as good as you can. So then what had happened was, so we start feeding the squirrel. So next thing you know, other squirrels hopping in the distance and other squirrels hopping. And we're cracking open these Kit Kats, man. We're cruising through them, bro. Cruising. I mean, we must have given out about 40 Kit Kats, probably. By the time we left, we had 22 squirrels in front of us that we counted, all eating Kit Kats. It was just a huge community of animals just eating little Kit Kats and just enjoying them and catching a little bit of sunshine. So finally, you know, we got out of there, and that was it, and that was the birthday party. And then about 3 days later, we're with my dad, and they had an article in the newspaper that a bunch of squirrels had died. Because they didn't know why. And I don't know for sure that is what killed these squirrels, but I could not think of any other reason why those squirrels at that park, why they found 20 or something dead squirrels. I cannot imagine at all. But they ate just so many of them, and it just, you know, and I wanted to feel sorry for them, but they just seemed so, sometimes just so fucking Persian while they was eating them. And no offense if you're Persian.
Now, but, unfortunately, 98% of our listeners are Persian, so we're going to have a tremendous problem with this.
Persians don't listen to anybody else.
were these regular size Kit Kats, like a 4 across?
Yeah, they were 4. Mm-hmm. So there was a 4-pack, and people, you know, they really got into them.
So, yeah, so I guess you know how you're not supposed to give chocolate to dogs.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Squirrels, this also not liking chocolate.
Yeah. This one you could still give. I mean, this was back in, you know, this was in 93 or 4 when you could still give probably chocolate to dogs, you know?
No, I don't think they could tolerate it then either. It's not like a nut allergy. That's a new thing.
Right. But I don't know if the science was out then that people knew that they couldn't tolerate it.
Now, wouldn't that have been great if there was Instagram back then or YouTube? That would have been a complete sensation. Squirrels eating Kit Kats in the park.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then they could have traced it, and then they would have sued your family.
Yeah, for 2 days, you would have been awesome.
Yeah,
and then for that exactly. third day, when they turned up dead.
Whose birthday party was it, by the way?
I'm guessing it was probably one of my sisters. They usually had the shittiest birthdays.
Yeah. Now, what sisters you said were like younger one, than actually. You, or old?
Yeah, young. Yeah, two years younger, 4 years.
So,
younger.
So your father was 70 when you were born, so he was even older yeah. when they were born. He's like 72 and 73 when they were born.
Yeah,
so he was a maniac, basically.
Yeah, I don't know what he was. I mean, he seemed kind of like a pretty regular man for the most part.
Well, it's not like men 72 can't make love.
No, they can. No, sex. No, I know. It's not like yeah. they can't. No, I'm not saying. What I'm saying is, it's one
love.
Thing to be 73 and having sex is like, yes, every 73-year-old man would do that. Most 73-year-old men don't want to have more kids. If I had a kid when I was 70.
No, it's not about him. It's about your mom. She's yeah. the one who had the children.
How old was your mother, I guess, is the question.
My mom was 32 when I was born, and I don't know why she had these children with an older man, but, I mean, he didn't have any money, so it wasn't money, and I don't know why.
He wasn't,
really
like,
liked
he wasn't
Kit Kats.
A rich old man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't a rich
no.
old man.
No. No, I'm guessing by the description of the car with the Chinese food in the speaker that probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that you describe it as your tertiary environment.
Yeah, well, that's just the tertiary. I mean, that's just the beginning of the story. You know, I'm just kind of setting the table.
It seems like where you grew up. Did you burn your trash?
Yeah, yeah. People burned our trash. We didn't burn our trash, but everybody else in our neighborhood burned
our trash. I burned my
trash
growing
up. You did?
We had a burning barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was my brother's job. He had to burn the trash.
Yeah, that was pretty normal, you know? And I think hopefully we'll get back to it,
yeah.
you know?
No, I don't think that's a good idea.
Really?
No, I don't think so.
I don't believe in the global warming theory as much as everybody else
you
does.
Come on.
No way.
This is science. It's science. It's
the,
not.
The planet
not...
was an ice age at one point. Like,
and now it's a lot hotter, right?
Yeah, and before that, there was a time when it was even like just a period of lava. Like, I just think it's just nature.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't think that at all. I look at science and I look at the maps. It's astounding
no.
what's going on. Really? When you
no,
look
I,
at...
I'm with Christine. But what I think is funny is when people, like, you're just saying, like, that's a reasonable argument. Like, well, you know, the world's yeah. going to do what it's going to do. That's and there's probably an element of that in there. I think we're helping it along badly. But what
right.
I find funny is when people make the argument against global warming by going, hey, look outside. It's snowing. It's like, okay. It's called global warming. It's not wherever you happen to be standing when
right.
you thought about it
yeah.
warming. It's like global warming means we're going to be colder. It's like
right. it's not
the
Buffalo,
fact that
New
there's
York
snow
warming.
Outside
yeah.
in Washington doesn't mean it's like
Theo, let me ask
that's
you
not
something.
An argument.
Yeah.
Now, those pies that your dad would buy you, how many pies are in a bag?
Are these small pies?
Just those slices of pies they had at Burger King.
I always remember them in little curtains, like it was a
yeah.
like those, right?
Or just a piece, yeah. Like
no,
that.
I remember the pies at Burger King because it came in a box shaped like
yeah.
a piece of pie.
Yeah.
And you'd get nine? How many?
I mean,
ten?
Whatever we would eat. We had four kids, so, or you know, sometimes all four of us wasn't there.
Yeah.
So whatever children was there most.
And this was in New Orleans or outside New Orleans?
This was in New Orleans. My dad lived in New Orleans, and we lived outside of New Orleans, about 50 miles away.
And I read somewhere, I heard somewhere, that David Duke was your neighbor.
Yeah, David Duke used to share a back fence with me. I used to go lift weights with him sometimes.
And he was a good guy.
He was a nice man.
Now, how old was he at that time, do you think? 30,
you know,
40, 50?
I would probably say he might have been getting close to 50, but that would be a guess. And I'll say this,
He's a handsome
he
man.
He was one of the handsomer men I've seen.
Yeah, like tall know. And strong. No, I can picture him.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, he's got nothing but Aryan blood, so obviously.
Good point,
he's got
huh?
The big strong. Yeah, sure, he was nice to you.
What did he give out
know,
for
huh?
Halloween? What did he give out for Halloween? Do you remember?
Oh, I don't know. He never spent much time at that house. I mean, someone the other day said that he still owns the house.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You wouldn't see him there too much. I would just see him sometime by the gym, and then we'd go over to the gym sometime.
Yeah. It just seems astounding. You don't really think of David Duke as just like somebody's
neighbor.
You just,
yeah.
I mean, obviously he is. It's just, that's his career path is a little odd, but he could
well, no,
he just
it's
has
like
to
people,
live somewhere.
Yeah, everybody's got a downtime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even villains have downtime. Like people don't sit around thinking like, you know, here's what I want to, you know, what I don't like and what I hate. You can't do that 24 hours a day. There's got to be a point at which you're like, I just got to have a beer.
Okay, here's a funny one. My nephew was friends with a Donald Trump son.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so they're in New York City, and my nephew and Donald Trump's son go up to where they live in one of the towers, and they take the elevator up, and the elevator opens, and Donald Trump is just like sitting in a room in front of a TV in his underwear watching TV. And my nephew and his son, you know, I forget the kid's name, go in and he's like, hey, dad, can I borrow $20? And he's like, yeah, whatever. And he gets $20 out and he hands him $20 and All right, see you later. You know.
Yeah.
He's just a dad.
Why did I never hear this story? This is regular.
Yeah. It's just a regular guy.
Yeah.
It's just funny to think that.
Yeah. It is funny to think that. I mean, I guess I had never realized that was like an interesting thing.
It is. It's very cool.
Yeah, how boring people really are. Even the most interesting people, whether you like them or hate them, are really boring at heart. They're only interesting for about an hour a day.
Now, let me ask you something. Allegedly, that you do with Matthew Cole Wise, you guys have gotten some really good guests, like Dennis Quaid, and then there's
Dennis Quaid and his son, Jack Quaid, came in the other day.
Yeah, and so that was a really good interview.
That was remarkable.
It really was. And then you had one with Heather McDonald, and she really opened up.
Yeah, she talked about Chelsea Handler and her experience at the Chelsea Handler show. And we just had Ross Matthews in the other day, and he was talking about, because he was at E! Around the same time as that show was, and he was kind of talking about that experience between those two ladies. He couldn't really pick a side. Yeah, I mean, that was surprising how much press that kind of got in the press world. But, I mean, press is so... I mean, you know, is it real? You know, is a lot of it real? A lot of press, you know, a lot of it's so, you know, it's just for us to click. It's clickbait.
However, I will say, though, if you listen to that podcast that you did with Heather, you and Matthew both did a good thing in that she started talking and kind of spilling the beans.
Yeah, she was spilling the beans.
And you know what you guys did?
Huh?
You didn't say anything.
Yeah.
She's so fucking smart.
Yeah, I fuck it up. Usually I'll step on the toes.
I do too. And she kept going and going, and I kept thinking, don't say anything, you guys. Don't say anything.
Yeah.
You guys, I'm just hoping.
Yeah. She's like, well, wait, maybe this isn't as interesting as I thought. Let me really go downtown here.
You did a great job on that, really.
Well, thank you. We actually took some stuff out. She has some stuff that she requested that we take out, and we took that out.
I've done that for guests as well. I've done that. Several times, actually, for guests. One guest we had on, a comedian, and I don't even think he would, well, I won't say, but the point is he actually had to have one of the shows taken down.
Really?
Because he had slandered someone's name, and now her ex-husband was using it in a lawsuit against her being a bad mother.
Wow.
I took it down so fucking fast. I mean,
that's
I was
crazy.
Just like, shit, man.
On the other hand, we were kind of like, somebody noticed. Somebody, oh my God, we could be in a lawsuit.
For a second there.
This is the kind of pussy that'll make this show podcast.
So listen, where did you go to school again? College?
Where did I go to college? I went to Louisiana State, and I went on a thing called Semester at Sea, which is like a floating college.
Yes, I wrote that down here. And
you go around the world. It's like they turn a cruise ship into a university, and you travel around the globe.
Oh, how did I not know about this?
So much fun.
It was cool, man.
But your parents have to pay for it, right?
I mean, yeah, I got work study on there, and it was this weird time at their program where it wasn't, I want to say, crazy expensive. I mean, it was probably $20,000, $13,000. Like, it was somewhere in there. And, like, if I was getting, like, $8,000 a semester for school or $6,000, and they gave me work study where I was working in the school bookshop.
Yeah. Oh,
it,
great.
It wasn't.
You could make it feasible.
Yeah, it's like for $4,000, you could make this happen.
Well, and if people get behind you and you really want it, you will make it happen. You know
right.
what I mean? You'll figure out a way. And I have that written down here because it sounds like a lot of fun. And I heard you tell a story about on that cruise, a senior passenger had died.
Yeah, Mr. Barry.
Keeping him in the freezer. Is that true?
That is a true story. Mr. Barry died.
How did he die?
He just died. I think he just...
Kit Kat.
Yeah, could have been. Yeah, could have been.
And then they can't, like, just dock the boat. They can't just take the cruise ship, turn it around. You got to put them somewhere.
Yeah.
I understand every cruise ship has this freezer area.
Yeah, they put them off in there. And then everybody joked that, like, the soup tasted like Mr. Barry for the week.
Oh, my God.
Well, remember, now Christine was a flight attendant for many years, and a guy died on her flight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so
absolutely.
What do y'all do then?
Well, what we do is we go to the flight attendant manual, and right there, it'll say it right there. If a passenger dies on your flight, do not cause any alarm.
Right.
Pretend that nothing has happened and go about your duties. They want you to put a blanket in the passenger's lap and put an oxygen mask over their nose and mouth. Adjust the elastic band.
Make it look like they're living.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And then they called. And now, wait. Tell them so then they radio ahead and say a guy died.
Well, I go into the pilots and I say, hey, man, you know, this Mr. Klein.
So you land and what happens?
Well, when we land, I think that they're going to open the door, let all the passengers out, and then we'll wheel up the dead guy. But they don't do that. We land and the paramedics come on. And everybody, you know, paramedics
dead
come on
first,
with it.
Huh?
Yeah, and no, but they continue.
But they're pretending
charade.
Still. They're still pretending.
Oh, hey, Mr. Klein, we over here. You're not feeling good. Come on, we're going to get you here. Put you in the straight back chair. Put your arms up. We're going to put this strap around you.
Wow.
And they wheel him off. And as they wheel him off, what do I say, Theo Von?
He's dead.
But what do I say?
Thank you for coming. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that tiny little aisle down the center, they're wheeling a guy down.
Thank you very much.
Who is not going?
Bye-bye.
And you know, nobody knows he's dead because they're all like, I want to get my fucking bag out of this goddamn asshole.
So listen, you do a lot of traveling.
Right.
You went and you entertained at Guantanamo Bay?
Yeah, man. I actually went down there and ended up making love to some woman down there, too. She had a grenade in her trunk of her car.
Wait a minute.
And I did. And
wait,
that's not like
all,
a sexual euphemism, like a, you know, it's not like a
junk in the trunk.
Yeah,
it's an actual grenade.
She actually had a grenade in the trunk of her car.
Well, how did you see that?
You know, I'll tell you this, dude. I still can't even imagine that we went. We got picked up on this little Cessna in Fort Lauderdale, and you go, and it's the middle of the night, and you go around the Cuba because you can't fly over. Go
at
ahead.
That time, wait, but who's going? Who set it up?
Me.
Why are you going?
Couple of whites. One dude was blind. He actually was Latino. This blind dude who was organizing the shit, and I felt so bad because he can't even see it.
What
you
was
know?
It called?
It was called basically just a couple, it was kind of like a USO type of group or something, but somebody, a comedian I know, had got this private contract. This
but
guy named
okay.
Patrick Geary.
But it's okay that he couldn't see it. He could hear it. That's the main thing.
That's true. He could hear it, yeah.
And I'm sure he probably is a good listener.
Yeah, but he is still, I think you want to see it.
So then you.
I think you want to see
it. You go around Cuba.
So you fly around. You can't fly over, so
right.
You're flying around. It's just pitch black.
That
and then
so crazy.
You see, like, it almost looks like a diamond in the distance because the whole base is lit up 24 hours a day with these huge lights. Like, as big a light you've ever seen.
Why is
every
that?
30 feet, just
why?
To outline the perimeter of the base, like
so,
100%.
So do you think it's ever dark in that prison? Do they,
oh,
can
I bet.
They sleep?
And it's not even the prison. It's the entire base. So... because you have two things there. You have the prison, and then you have the base. And the base
why.
Is huge. There's
yeah.
like 3,000 soldiers down there, men and women.
Wow.
And there's like a golf course. There's a couple of like restaurants and
like American, like on the base. Like
yes,
a Pizza
on the base
Hut and a Burger King.
And one funny thing is there's a unique thing down there where they make different types of cars. And they like it's almost like Cuba in the way where they like if a car gets down there they just try to keep it alive as long as they can.
Yeah.
And they'll take like so parts of different cars and put them all together. And they'll like if somebody had recreated the Mystery Machine from Scooby-Doo, like a perfect replica.
Wow, that's
and
awesome.
You somebody recreated like Tomator or whatever, like
from
Cars.
From Cars, yeah.
Yeah. So like you had like these fictional, like, you know, that these character cars driving around, which is really, really neat.
It is neat.
But yeah, it was just wild. You're down there and then you're swimming off of this beach and you're going to like these different museums.
Well, you fly in and then you go to a nice hotel. Is there like a...
No, you stay like with the troops in like some of the troop kind of barrack rooms. So you have your own room.
Uh-huh.
And then there's troops kind of milling about. And I met this young gal. I don't know what happened, man.
She a soldier?
She was a soldier, yeah.
And why did you look in her trunk?
She goes, you want to see something?
Yeah, I'd see it in a minute.
Right.
What did you think it was going to be?
I thought it was going to be her breasts, actually.
Oh.
And it was, but it was also later this grenade she had in her trunk of her car.
Did she bring it out? Did she bring it into the bed?
No.
Do you know, I have a friend.
Okay.
I have a friend.
This is how it starts.
Now it's dangerous. I have a friend who enjoys gunplay.
Wow.
And you know her.
Do I know her? But I don't know who this is.
A gun. She does not mind a gun. In the bed.
What?
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm sorry. I'm actually new to this. A gun in the bed or a gun in the...
In the hoo-hoo? No!
Yeah.
I'm not going to get dirty about it.
Yeah.
Gun
okay, so
bed.
She just wants the gun to be in the bed.
You know, yeah,
but it's a phallic object.
No, I don't think
is she
it's
touching
like
the gun? Is she just looking at the gun?
I think it's kind of like the hold it to my head thing.
Wow.
Wow, that is...
yeah.
I know.
You know, okay, this will... To me, somehow... Okay, first of all, obviously, unless you're a psychotic, you want to make sure the gun's not loaded. But somehow holding it to your head during sex or using it as a phallus, somehow the holding it to my head seems, on the sickness scale,
yes.
A little sicker.
I agree.
It's No. It's
really?
Horrifying.
You wouldn't mind cold
no.
steel?
No.
Your...
I would mind it.
Yeah, I would mind
no,
it.
No. I don't want a gun in the bed, period.
Yeah, he
but
doesn't
I'm
even
saying,
want a slingshot
no.
in the bed.
I just
can't
between
believe
which...
you prefer a gun in the bed.
No,
the pussy.
Which of these two things is more horrible? Using a gun as some sort of phallic object which is horrible.
Yes.
You're like, what would be worse than sticking a gun there? Holding it to my head and say, fuck me better. I think that somehow is worse.
Yeah.
Somehow that is sicker to me. They're both sick. They're both, and you know, it's Hollywood. We're not supposed to judge people. I'm judging.
Oh, you got
to
judge everybody.
Holding it to your head and saying, like, suck it harder, that kind of thing.
Wow.
Now,
are there bullets in it or not? Because I'm not doing it. The only way that you have to have bullets in there.
I just don't know.
You know what he's saying? He's a comedian, and what he says, you're saying commit to the bit.
Yeah, commit to the bit.
You got to commit if you're going to do it. Yeah. But see, couldn't she just, if she wants that, and like if that's the game she wants to play, that's fine. You don't need the, why do you need the prop? Why don't you just have the guy say, suck it harder?
Yeah.
Or I'll slap you.
Yeah.
Or I'll something. It's like, do you need the gun?
Well, that just said, like the grenade. Did you see when he said she had a grenade in her trunk? His eyes lit up.
Yeah, it is kind of cool.
There's a danger element to it, Hannes. You're missing
it. No.
Yeah, you almost want to like pull the pin and like make love while you pull
like
the pin.
Pull the pin, hold it between your thighs, and then let's see if we can do this without your thighs opening up enough for us both to be killed.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I do need a break right now. I'm sorry. I need to go into the restroom.
Wow. It is getting really.
So who is that? Is that that's your? Yeah, you're not going to tell me who it is.
No, I'm not
on the air.
You
you're not
going to
tell me.
Wow.
Get over it, Hannes.
Whoa! I like this. She opens up the door.
I know.
To this, and like we're the perverts. We're terrible people.
Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
Leo, were you only with her one night? Was it just a one night?
You know, and I was only on there for about 4 or 5 nights. I don't remember exactly, but then I saw her a few years later in Kansas City, and it actually got some oral. We did oral sex in a limousine, actually.
Oh, that worked
out.
Oh
my God, that is disgusting. Compared to the rest.
When I was down there for a charity function, but anyway, I mean that was neither here.
Was she doing that for charity? Or
I don't remember.
That is a good way to get oral sex.
Yeah.
Is to have a limousine. That doesn't hurt.
Crazy.
Now listen, do your sisters and brother, do they still live in New Orleans?
Yeah, my brother. He runs a tree business down there.
Interesting.
My sisters both live out there.
Like an arboretorium?
Yeah, he's an arborist, actually. I think he's actually a doctor. He loves business, but his business is trees.
That's really interesting.
It is interesting.
And your mom is still there, too?
Yeah, my mom lives down there.
Are they real proud of you?
I think so. I think
that
not when they hear this, but yeah.
Well,
yeah,
not
when they hear
this. Do they follow what you're doing, though? Do they follow it?
Yeah, my brother's wife kind of keeps him in tune because he's pretty focused on business. But they came. I shot my comedy special there so they could all come.
Yeah, no offense. And how's that doing?
It's doing great. I mean, I think that, like, you know, some people are going to like it, some people are not. If you like, you know, jokes, you know, you're not really going to like it. If you like personality,
yeah,
then I think
right.
you're going
to
love it.
That's right. And so you go to Netflix.com or Netflix, and no offense, you pay. It's like 99 cents a shot, or how does that work?
Oh, no, you just subscribe to Netflix. It's $8 bucks a month, and you can watch whatever's on there.
No, okay. No,
say,
I have Netflix,
what are you getting from
Netflix?
I think it's a question.
Oh.
Right? Is that your question?
No, it isn't. I have Netflix, but for some reason I thought it was... When I was looking into you, and I wasn't on my TV Netflix, I was on the computer, and I hit Netflix, and it was like you could watch it also like on a one-shot deal outside of the subscription.
I didn't even know that.
That makes – yeah, I didn't know that, but that doesn't make sense. If you are not
service.
A Netflix subscriber, you can probably watch stuff on Netflix for a fee.
But who the hell am I going to go 7 extra bones and watch Daredevil?
I'm just saying that you don't have to say to people like, how do
I
watch
didn't
your
know
show?
That.
Well, you have to have Netflix. No, you don't.
Right.
You don't have to have Netflix. You can watch it one time for a certain fee.
I
there
had
you go.
No
that's
idea.
A, that's
but
to you.
Was it financed by Netflix or did you make it and then sell it to Netflix?
Financed by Netflix.
It was financed.
Okay.
They gave us
fantastic.
Yeah, fun budget, and they were super cool. If I could go back, I'd maybe change some things about it a little bit, but you know, people at home had never been to, like, a comedy show like this. Like, they don't have a comedy club in New Orleans because people want to be out and about drinking. They
There's
don't wanna,
no comedy club at all in New Orleans?
They don't want to sit and listen. It's not a sit and listen.
Yeah,
it's
no,
a,
I
it's
get
music,
that, but
music,
it's
huh?
a drink and, yeah, and listen. It's like
yeah.
a stand on the corner.
Yeah, and you need to be able to go from bar to bar and listen
yes.
to the music. Yeah, I do. By the way, New Orleans, I mean, I've only been there once.
I could see you fitting in
it's
there.
It's a cliche, but like every single piece of food in New Orleans is unbelievable.
Yeah.
No matter how humble.
Yeah.
No matter where you go, every single thing is unbelievable. You know, the only other city I've been in that's like that, Paris.
Ooh.
Obviously. It's the French
yeah.
influence. It's like everything in Paris is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in New Orleans, you can't eat a bad meal.
Yeah.
I could not believe how fantastic. And I'm all Mr. You know, I'm Mr. Food.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
So,
you love it. That's all. Yeah, look at me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
I'm all about the food.
But you don't look, You look like a man that likes food.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He is. He's got sophisticated
Perfectly,
tastes.
But you don't look like a man that overindulges in food.
I try not to. That's true. Thank you. Yeah, no, I'm from Wisconsin, and I look exactly...
Oh, yeah.
And it's so funny thing. Yeah, it's like if I go back home, it's like I'm like, yeah, I'm looking good. Feeling very good about my body when I go back to Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
I go to West Hollywood, I'm like, oh, not so much with the... But
yeah, you're the Cindy Crawford of Wisconsin, really.
Let me ask you something. Will you tell us the unicycle story regarding cranktex.com? Because that's a really funny concept.
Well, I'll tell you this story that nobody knows about Cranktex was so cranktexting is I would just text random phone numbers. I would make them up and I would text them and I would text like a couple hundred and be like, hey, it's Allison. And then one person writes back like Allison Kingsman. And you're like, yup. And then they're like, did you get a new phone? And you're like, yup. And so now you're Allison Kingsman, whoever that is.
Yeah.
And so you can feel your way through that existence of who she is and you can try and find out their relationship, right? So one time I was texting a man, and I got deep into this. I got pretty dark into this. It got dark.
Wait, at this point in your life, like, where were you?
I was lonely. I was super depressed. I've been living out here for a couple of years. I think LA is the most depressing city you could live in.
Do you still think that?
I still think it 100%. I think it's this city is built.
Shit, man.
I think it's just built. It just everybody looks fucking depressed, or they have a dog and pretend they're not depressed.
Really? Yeah. Where do you live?
I live in Westwood. I mean, Westwood's like. Pretty whatever. I mean, I have a ton of friends and stuff, but it's just, I feel like it's just too hard to get to people. They just didn't plan ahead well enough. But
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
But then
you know, you need a gun in your bed to really perk up LA.
Maybe we need a gun. It's also been a long day. It's also been a long day. But anyway.
Negativity is our bread and butter.
It's just been a weird day.
Well, listen, I think that LA has pockets of difficult areas. I would think Westwood, because of the college kids and how young they are, that it would bring a natural kind of... like a good energy, college town energy.
Yeah, I don't think it's I live in more like it's more like kind of just regular people part of Westwood.
I see.
It's kind of like West LA kind of Westwood. But I just don't like you got to travel everywhere to get to people.
Yeah,
I'm
you
more
know,
like Louisiana's like you walk around and you
I
see
know,
people. You constantly touch shoulders.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I love it. We both love LA. But Christine and I went out to lunch before today, which we don't really ever usually do. So we're, you know, because we don't want to talk before we're talking on the air. But so we, it's like I picked her up and I'm driving around. I live in the valley because that's who I am. And I'm driving around in traffic and I'm just getting more and more older by the second. Like, God damn, these people with their, they don't know how to fucking drive.
Yeah.
And they're just, and I'm just getting so pissed.
It was like,
I was, my finger, hands are 10 and 2 and I got a palm on the thing, on the.
Honest was just like, go ahead, make my fucking day.
Yeah.
I will cut you.
Because I think that, like, the West Side, I would never live in West LA, as beautiful as it can be. It's so crowded.
Yeah.
And what people need to imagine is, like, the most crowded part of whatever city you're in up against an ocean.
Right.
So there's only three routes of escape,
right.
Not four. Wherever you are, you're fucked because you're up against the ocean.
You know?
So the traffic is so much worse over there than anywhere else in LA. It's beautiful, but...
Yeah.
You know, I live in Los Feliz, and I think I nailed it. I got really
No,
lucky.
You got far enough away.
I know, and I've been there in the same area, the same four blocks for 18 years.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Because I love it. I play tennis every day, 6 days a week.
Oh, that's fun.
It's right... You know what I mean? It's like kind of chose it because of that.
Oh, yeah. That's fun.
It's tough. Yeah.
I think, I don't know what it is. I just think it's the driving. Like, I don't get, I think if you're really confident in who you are, then this city might work better for you. Like,
yeah.
I don't really know who I am that much. So, and I base a lot of who I am, I feel like, on feedback from other people.
Oh,
like,
that's a bad idea out here.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But when you run into people, like, seeing how your energy is, like, if I'm able to make somebody else's day or if they're acting like I seem weird, then maybe I need to boost my energy up or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm more used to that environment where you're, like, running into people like molecules, whereas here, I don't just see that much. You're like in your car by yourself. You're talking to your mom.
People aren't outside. It's true. Well, you're talking to your mom.
Well, I call my mom usually when I'm in traffic.
You do?
And stuff.
That's sweet
Yeah,
of
even
you.
Though I can't,
actually,
sometimes can't.
You mentioned dogs. It's funny because my wife and I got a puppy like 9 months ago, and it's like now suddenly after 5 years of living in this neighborhood, I don't know their names, but I know people on my street.
Right.
Because they own dogs, and I'm walking the dog, and the dogs force you to interact with strangers, which is not my forte.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. It's like, oh, this is very un-LA-like.
Right.
That I like. And so the people with the dogs, they actually are happy.
Maybe I need a dog.
Because they are connected. You do need, right. I'm saying you need a dog.
Okay, so
that's
this is the environment, though. This is the tertiary environment that you were.
You're just loving that word.
I do. I love that word.
Word of the day calendar.
Where, when you came up with crank texts.
Yeah, so I was in a tough place, okay. And so I started texting strangers.
Allison, you were doing the Allison. You went far into this.
Yeah. Well, Allison, the guy ended up going over to Allison's place and bringing over wine and everything, and so that got pretty wild, right? And so then I was like, wow, this is pretty crazy. So then I just started texting. I mean, I texted for about 5 or 6 years. I texted probably almost 60,000 phone numbers. And I was in relationships. I was hiring people for Civil War reenactments. I was running a starting a religious group out of Houston. Well, I mean, I was doing so many things I couldn't my own life disappeared. I was literally constantly on my phone. I was in probably 9 relationships. I was in a mental health facility. I was a women. I was gays. I was men. Everything. I was blacks, Indians, everything. And what had happened was finally there was a man who I texted, and he kind of fell in love and he thought it was a woman. And I sent him pictures of a woman dressed in a ninja costume, right? So I will admit I led this dude on a little bit, but also I led this dude on as a freaking ninja, okay? Like, if a ninja walked in here right now, sure, we'd follow it for a little bit, but we ain't going to keep following it for 5 months. No. So this dude continued to communicate with a ninja who, during the day, worked at the YMCA in Santa Monica, right? So we have this conversation going. Well, what had happened was he wanted to meet up. So I said, okay, let's meet at the Starbucks.
Where
did
he live? He lives in California, too.
Yeah, he lived in California, too. And he said, let's meet at this Starbucks. It was over kind of in the valley. So I said, okay. So I was like obsessed in this voyeurism place, right? And so I got there and saw the dude. And you could, like, it was just so many levels because he wasn't happy in his marriage and he wasn't content. His wife didn't make him happy. It was an arranged marriage and blah, blah, blah. So there was this kind of religious aspect to it a little bit. So he's waiting for this girl. And you can also tell he's just nervous. And he's like walking around like just being nervous and waiting for this girl to show up that he's never even met. He's only seen her as a ninja.
Oh, God.
A ninja. So anyway, he finally can't even walk around anymore. He goes inside the Starbucks. So then I go in. And my buddy and I are secretly like videoing this, right?
God, you're kidding.
I'm just telling you where I was. I was in a dark place. I'm not saying that I was in a healthy spot. Today I wouldn't do that, but this is where I was, right?
Right.
And we weren't going to unleash the video on the world or anything. Right. I paid him to help me, so he was just, by pay, really. But I was there because I was just curious, and it was just strange to watch. And I was lonely.
So what unfolded?
So what unfolded was, went inside anyway, sat right next to him, even talked to him at one point, exchanged a few words. He had no idea. And I can just, like, see all these levels of things that are going on. Yeah, it was really,
so
really weird.
So uncomfortable.
So
such
uncomfortable.
A strange
just
moment.
Riding this uncomfort. And
there's so much, like,
that I'd instigated.
Like,
but I also tried to get out of it with him. I tried to not meet him 100 times. And he just, like, let's meet, let's meet, let's meet, let's meet. So, whatever. But anyway, I was there. And then finally, I left. I just texted him. I was like, hey, I can't make it. I got called back into work. 2 homeless people are fighting at the YMCA, right?
So he's right behind you.
He's right
You're
behind me.
You're texting.
And then I left. And so then he's like, well, and then we ended up thinking it's probably for the better, blah, blah, blah. So then fast forward a couple weeks later, I come out of the laundry room in my apartment building, right? And I hear something like right outside the laundry room door, and I open it, and it's that dude, right? It's that dude with a friend of his, and his friend has a baseball bat with him, right?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And I'm literally like,
how they
what?
Tracked you down?
I have no idea.
What?
I have no idea.
What?
And I literally am like, what? And he, like, pushed me up against the wall. And his friend is, like, holding me. He's, like, saying all this stuff to me. Like, who are you? Who are you? Know, like, did my wife put you up to, like, all this? Did my wife's father put you up to, like, all kinds of crazy stuff? And I'm just, like, trying to explain to him. I don't even know you. Like,
It was
just
denial? Did you deny?
No,
you
I admitted. Like,
you
yes.
Said,
I was just texting. I was just texting strangers.
Around, right.
Yeah, I'm just a freaking weirdo,
yeah,
you
just,
know?
Yeah.
Then his friend goes, oh, yeah, well, you like your car? And he takes a baseball bat. He broke out all 4 windows of the car. Here's a kicker, not even my car, my landlord's car, this lady named Miss Sandy who gets pissed and always cleans her car. So now her car's full of broken glass.
You
so I start laughing
lie.
As this dude is holding me against
you
the wall.
Lie.
Swear to God.
That
and that was
so...
the last time that I did it in a dark way. Outside of that, it's just been like funny.
They just ran away then?
Funny things. No, the guy just, I mean, he don't ever, you know,
and then
I don't ever want to see this again. He kept frisking me for my phone. He wanted to get my apartment to get my phone. I don't know. It's been about 4 years now.
Well, it would
now.
Be scary in terms of for him because he's thinking there's a conspiracy or who would like. I could see him thinking.
Oh, I had to. I had to, as much as you can convince a man that's furious and wants to put bodily harm onto you, I had to convince him that I didn't know him. And I was believe. I think he believed that.
Because there is a lot of mental illness going on.
Oh, yeah. I had some of it in me, probably.
And him, too. Everybody.
Probably. Yeah.
Everybody. This was.
But yeah. So,
wow,
yeah, it's actually weirder to hear, like, you know, did you know, somebody put you up to this? Who put you? It's like, no, I just did it.
No,
it's actually like, really? And that's so completely nuts that he must have known and that was the truth. Because who would make up that?
Yeah.
If you were going to make up a lie about it, you'd come up with something better than like, I really have no idea why I did this. And
wow,
nobody
Theo.
Put me up to it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I see, I think it's a part of the story. I mean, there's so many irritating things about the story, but the thing about the guy where he's like, do you like, as soon as you said, the guy said, do you like the windows of your car? I knew it wasn't going to be your car.
Yeah.
Because you weren't in your car, so how the fuck would he know?
I have no idea.
Why would he assume that the nearest car was your car? That's the part where that guy was like, that made no sense.
Because he was in the driveway of his apartment building.
It was the worst part.
But it's an apartment building. So it's not a house. If he's in your house.
The worst part was I remember the guy, his buddy, like wheeled this bat back and like got it caught in like some hangers that were hanging like on a pipe right there. So his first swing, it wasn't even anything. It was just like ripping some hangers down. And I mean, I don't know. My brain was just in like such a place of instigation,
yeah,
I think,
yeah.
that I just.
Are you sure you weren't just watching The Big Lebowski High and you were imagining John Goodman?
Is this sort of a reaction that you got back? Is this kind of the reason why you do comedy too? To get this sort of a.
I don't know. You know, I've been thinking recently why I did the crank texting thing because I've been writing a book about it that was just pretty much finished, and so I don't know.
Oh, good
why.
On you. How are you writing the book? What's your process there?
It's just been writing how it started because it started somebody accidentally texted me, and I made like a new friend kind of that
went
way.
With
where
it.
I felt yes,
you went with it.
But I also like. You know, I don't know. I'm still kind of figuring it out.
But writing the process of the book, are you writing it like front to back? Like you're just going to start writing it or are you writing it into a computer?
No, I just wrote it all out. I mean, just all into pages and put text conversations in there that kind of show kind of where I was. But also, I don't feel like I was a psycho at the time. I just feel like there was a couple conversations that got a little too deep.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it until other people let me know because it developed a pretty big fanship for a while.
Yeah, sure. But probably for you, it happened so slowly and incrementally that you don't realize on
the bigger
level.
Yeah, and I was also super lonely. It was the only thing that I had to do a lot of times.
Yeah, I got
to
say, the corner you turned is when you hire a guy to come film you.
Yeah.
That should have been a clue that something
you know, I think people
was
get like
incorrect.
That on, I think people
yeah.
get like that on Twitter. You know, the funniest people on Twitter are like that, where they're just kind of like home in front of their
Twitter
feed, man. They're not doing much else.
Yeah, and I mean, I hired the guy, like he was a buddy of mine. We worked together, and that Catfish show had just kind of, I think, came out.
Ah, yeah.
And so
that maybe gave you
it
a
was
little...
like, yeah, let's, I want to see who this dude is,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I just want a buddy to be there. Let's, you know, and let's catch some like, you know, some footage if we can and see just to watch. I don't
Who's
know. It was almost like that Beautiful Mind movie, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying I wasn't like it wasn't a creepy thing of mine.
No, but it's fascinating.
But it wasn't a choice that I made just like this. Like, oh, I'm going to be, you know.
Well, listen, but I want to play Shotgun Story Worthy. But
let's
before,
do it really fast.
Before we do, can you run through the unicycle story real quick and how that
I'm trying to think of the one on the unicycle. So the unicycle was one that I put up on Craigslist where I had a unicycle for sale.
Right.
And people's, and then a man.
There was one specific person wanted to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said, okay, I'll sell it to you. But then later on, you wrote back to them and said, I can't sell it to you because I just was in a terrible accident. I was texting while I was riding my unicycle.
Right.
And then the guy says, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I can't believe you're hurt. I feel so bad. Well, yeah, I'm in the hospital, and it's really fucking bad, you know? I'm so sorry. Can I still buy the unicycle? Well, yeah, hold on. And then you took it so far.
Wasn't the guy going to meet me here to buy it?
Yeah, he was going to meet you to buy it. But then you said you died. You had somebody respond back.
Oh, yeah. And then his son called.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
And then they were like, man, and it went on for fucking weeks. And you end up saying flowers can be sent to this funeral parlor. And
I got a call.
Like,
I got a call from the guy and be like, hey, I just wanted to let you know that
I talked
to your dad. He was supposed to meet me to sell the unicycle, and that might have been whenever he passed, and I just feel bad.
And he's like, well, do you still want to buy it? And he goes,
yeah, he still wanted it. And I wouldn't sell it to him.
I do want to buy it.
Yeah.
See, Christine says, why don't you interact with people more? This is why.
Yeah. I was laughing.
This is what LA will do to you. If I'd lived in New Orleans, this never would have happened.
Hey, listen, man, you want
to
play some Shotgun Story with you?
Play it.
Music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the storyworthy wheel of truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
Accidents. I got into a car accident one night here in Los Angeles about a year and 2 weeks ago. And so this morning I went to actually get my last like epidural type of shot into my back this morning because I'd had back problems for about 10 years and had surgery and stuff. And so the accident aggravated that. Anyway, so I'm in there this morning and they lay me down on my stomach and they're, you know, you have your dress open or whatever, your medical dress open, and they're putting like that thing into you. And there's like a couple of, there's two men back there, right? And one of them the doctor. And I was like, hey man, I'm cool as long as y'all don't gang bang me, right? And which I thought was pretty funny. And this doctor, this Asian man, he goes, well, it's not really, it's just two people. It's not gangbang, more of a, he goes, more of a platoon. Which I thought was really, really funny.
That is, see, that's
58 seconds. That's a perfect accident.
See, but that's the beauty of LA, because in Milwaukee, that guy's not going to be making that joke. But the guy's like, oh, two people, not enough. Oh, you want number four, by the way? Number four, no MSG. And we need more people. He should have opened the door and shouted down the hallway, we need more people.
No, wait, it's like that's like a steroid they're giving you, right? It's not an epidural.
I don't know what it is. This is something for like a hip or something. I mean, I basically have dysplasia. I'm now an animal. And if you're lonely in LA long enough, you actually become an animal and someone rescues you.
Oh,
wait,
my
but
gosh.
So you're doing, it's for relief of pain.
Yeah.
So it is like an epidural, I think.
Yeah, it is like a, I don't want to say like an antihistamine for your muscles,
but
something.
It's cortisone,
like
probably, right?
You know, I don't even know. I didn't even ask.
And you're not getting cortisone anymore?
It was so early, I was like, I'm not asking.
Does it make you feel good right away, or does it take time?
It's made me feel pretty comfortable. Like for the first time, this is the first day of my life in probably about 12 years that I haven't had any back pain.
That sucks, man. You're a very young man.
Oh, I cried. When the man told me this was even a possibility, I started crying in this man's office. Just because if you never had back pain, I mean, I sound like a fucking
old man.
But if you never had back pain, it's just.
No, that's what I've always heard is like, that's the worst because it is impossible to fix surgically. And it's just all about management.
Yeah. And you seem like an old person no matter what. Like if he's trying to, you know, pick something
up. Yeah, there are 25-year-old people who have bad backs.
Yeah.
And they're pissed.
Yeah. And then you're pissed, too. Yeah. And there's always something kind of pressing on your nerves. So you're fucking queued up.
So what happened in that car accident?
A couple of sisters hit me, man. A couple of sisters hit me when I was, that one of them was doing an illegal U-turn over there on Las Cienegas.
Yeah, she was flipping a bitch.
You know, you're not allowed to make a U-turn in a business district.
Well, we had this discussion, yes.
Somebody needs to tell these broads because they hit your boy up. But hey, it's over now.
Yeah, well,
we almost got hit
happened.
Coming over here. Somebody was, I assume, teaching their teenage daughter how to drive. Hadn't taught her to look over her shoulder or signal that she was doing U-turn on your residential street and came within like 2 feet.
Ooh. And Hannes screams, you fucking cunt. He said that so fucking loud in my ear. I'm right here. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
But no, I didn't say that immediately. It's when she didn't react to me giving her the finger or didn't look in my direction.
Oh, yeah. You need validate. It's funny how we
need
that.
The apologetic hand like, my bad. Because you can admit, you know, you're never supposed to admit if you have an accident for legal reasons. But if you almost have an accident, you should always be the person that goes, sorry, that's me. I feel bad about this. All I need to know is that you have some idea that you almost completely fucked up your day and the day of a complete stranger.
Right.
And the ensuing weeks. And that's all I want is like,
Yeah, but, but the thing is so you react like that, and I get that, but you're not going to get that from her. So you need to now make a different choice because what you want, you're not going to get. So now you're pissed, screaming, and I'm pissed because you screamed. You know what I mean? So now everything is heightened, and it wasn't you. You could have controlled all of that. You know, you could have said like, "You fucking bitch," and just keep driving. But to like make a point to try to get her attention to give you a reaction,
we need it,
is escalating the situation.
Yeah, but we need to escalate it.
I'm driving a classic. Driving an 88 Volvo.
Yeah, it's true. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve. You deserve reparations.
And then I got rubber bumpers. So look at my car and look at your car. Yeah. And see who's going to win in this situation.
Hey, Theo.
Wow.
Hans.
And this is how you get into texting. And this is how it gets into the hole.
It gets dark, man.
It's dark,
it's
dude.
Dark. Thank you so much for coming by. We really appreciate it. Fantastic
you bet, man.
Story. And good luck on No Offense. I'm really happy for your special. That's exciting.
Thanks.
You've got
I
all sorts
it.
Of things going on and continued luck with Allegedly. And yeah. You can find Theo Von, you guys, over on Instagram and on Twitter at Theo Von, and of course at his website again, TheoVon.com. I want to thank everybody here at Sideshow Network, including Maria Spertolozzi. Thanks, Maria.
Thank you.
And of course, Roddy Swearingen.
Yeah, thank you, Roddy. Thank you, Sean and Andrew.
Listen, I also want to thank John Thomas Griffith. You know, he wrote our theme song, Follow Me.
No idea who that is.
By the way, do you know who John Thomas Griffith
is?
Of
John Thomas Griffith from Home Improvement?
No, Cowboy Mouth.
Oh, the guy from, that's like New Orleans man, isn't
it? Yeah, that's why I'm asking, yeah. Cowboy Mouth.
Is he the drummer?
No, he's the guitar player and guitar pianist.
No, yeah. I know of the band. I've
Christine
seen them many
is
times.
Not Fred, friends Fred. With drummers.
Fred is the drummer, but no, Fred's the head of the band.
And GNR is playing tonight at the Troubadour. Y'all hear that?
No, I didn't.
Wow.
Guns
Hang
and
on.
Roses.
Yeah, let wow. me see. Hang on. Let me take my pulse. Nope, is not, that, a, not
you,
a bleep.
Are
no.
you serious about that?
Yeah, sold out in a few minutes.
All right, you guys. And on behalf of our storyteller, Theo Von, again, thanks so much for coming. And on behalf of you, Hannah Spenny, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Story Worthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.